All right, thanks, Jack. Let's all stand together for a brief second. Grab your Bibles. Let's stand together. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. We'll read a couple verses. Of course, today is Membership Sunday. We're going to talk for a few minutes about membership. We're going to talk to you about what is membership about anyway. We're starting a little bit later because we had a few more announcements and so forth, but we'll be fine. Ephesians chapter 5, and look at verse 25. We looked at a few of these verses on Thursday night when we were looking at the church. We'll use them as a springboard this morning. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25 to 27 is what we'll look at. It says, husbands, love your wives. Hold on, don't say amen yet. Wait, it gets worse. It gets harder. Even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. There's always a catch. We're supposed to love our wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Keep working on it, fellas, okay? But the point is, Christ loved the church. Christ sacrificed himself for the church. Verse 26, that he might sanctify it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Let's pray. Father, I pray this morning as we look at the subject of church membership, that you would guide our thoughts, that you would show us a few things from your word, and help us to see the importance of being part of the church, the body that Jesus loves and gave himself for. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Excuse me. Of course, we're talking about membership this morning. When we talk about membership, we do church membership Sunday about once a year. It's a time when we remind ourselves the importance of the church and the reasons why we should become a part of it. Specifically our church. As we read in just these few verses, and you could read in others, the church is a big deal to Jesus. It's not something that is a small thing to him. By the verses we read right there told us he loves the church, he sacrificed himself for the church, he cleanses the church, he receives the church, and he prepares the church. When the New Testament talks about the church, it's talking about a local assembly of believers. You look at many of the epistles, the epistles to the church at Corinth, to Ephesus, to Philippi, the seven churches in Revelation. A church is a local assembly of believers. Jesus loves the church. I love the church also. By the way, I don't just love the church because I work here. I don't just love the church because I get paid to work here. I love the church and was a part of the church long before I ever was on a church staff. Church is important to me. One of the biggest things that helped me when I gave my life to the Lord and I decided I was going to live for him, I did not understand what that entailed. I didn't know any of those particulars. I just knew that I'm going to start going to church. And I'm going to go to every service. That's why we encourage you for the four to flourish. And so we started. I started going to all the services, and I started growing and learning from there. It has helped my life more than I can ever explain. So we even mentioned on Thursday night, no church is perfect. I wish there was a perfect church. There isn't. Okay? But even though the church is not perfect, you can have a group of authentic, genuine believers who loves Jesus and is doing the best they can. We need to be a part of that. I gave a quote, I don't have it here, on Thursday night from Charles Spurgeon. He was talking about, you know, if I try, I could not find a perfect church. And if I did ever find a perfect church and I joined it, it would no longer be perfect because I was a member of that church. But this is a good church that God has given us here. And so for a couple minutes, and then we're going to pass out something to you, so ushers be ready towards the end of the message. I want to talk to you about why should we have church membership So what's important? What is it all about anyhow? Well, I would tell you that first of all, it's about Christ. It's about Christ. It could begin and end right there. This church isn't our church. This isn't their church. This is Jesus' church. We seek as a body of believers to honor and glorify our Lord Jesus Christ. If you're in Ephesians still, back up a couple chapters to chapter 3 and let's look at verse 14. Chapter 3 and verse 14, and we'll go through this quickly here. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. "Of whom the whole body, the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge." We'll never understand God's love. "That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him," Christ, "be glory," where? "In the church, by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end, amen." What's the church about? Honor and glory to Jesus Christ and God our Father. That's what it's all about. The church is about lifting up Jesus Christ. He is the head of the church. We won't look at the verses. We looked at them on Thursday. But in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 to 20, it just talks about Jesus Christ and he is the head of the church. And Colossians tells us that he should have the preeminence. What is preeminence? Preeminence means first place, top of the line. He's what it is all about. By the way, don't say, so "Well, you know, I'm down with Jesus, but I'm not down with the church." You can't be. He loved the church. Church was his idea. Okay. And by the way, I've never found anybody that's down with Jesus and they weren't down with the church that's really up with anything. It's just an excuse for not going to church. Okay? And we need to serve the Lord and we need a church that will honor and glorify him. Let me read a couple more verses and we'll move on. Why should we honor and glorify Christ in the church? Because he's worthy. Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. "A scene in heaven. I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." He's worthy. He is worthy of everything that we do. And by the way, everything we do in the church, all the motivation ought to be for Jesus Christ. If our motivation is anything else, that's a bad motivation. It's all about Jesus Christ. We give glory to a lot of the wrong people, don't we? You look at who our society honors and glorifies. I like sports, okay? Thanks, Raul. Appreciate you. Not all of them, but of course, you know, hockey, because that's man sport. That's what real people, you know, it's not for sissies. But you listen, some of the people we honor and glorify in their lives, they're wretches. They're involved with things. It's like, and sometimes, I don't like, I use, and you know it, my favorite team was the Rams. Not anymore. I found a good reason to bail out. Ain't my team anymore. Oh, that's part of it. It's like, you get these guys, honor God, and they're knuckleheads. And we excuse it simply because they can throw a ball through a basket, they can throw a football, or they can shoot a puck. It used to be that our society, if they did something lame, they frowned down on. Now it's like, oh, what's the big deal? The big deal is they're immoral. The big deal is it's not right. The big deal is, if they're going to act like that, they can't really, in essence, be our heroes. But can I tell you somebody who never acts like that? Jesus Christ. Oh, but I knew a guy who was a Christian, and he did this. Well, he may have been a Christian, but he wasn't Christ. By the way, if you, I can tell you a lot of stories about Christians and people that serve God that did bad things. You want to hear about it? I knew a guy, he was a murderer. I knew a guy, an adulterer. His name was David. They're in the Bible. God doesn't hide it. You think, by the way, that's one proof that the Bible's true, amen? He didn't, they don't whitewash anything. Because you know what the Bible's pointing us to? Yes, we look at these great men, and yes, we learn from them. But the Bible doesn't hide anything because it's not about them even, it's about him. Amen. The church has got to be about Christ. What else is the church about? The church is about others. It's about others. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25, you're accustomed to hearing that when we talk about church, but I want you to focus in on a couple aspects of it. He says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, usually we use that verse, we focus on the not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. Let's be the church. But let's focus on the purpose there. He tells us to provoke one another to love and good works. So we come to church to encourage one another, to provoke us to be able to go out in this rotten world in which we live and do good works and encourage and help people. And then he tells us we're exhorting one another. Look at the verses. I'll read a few of them to you. The one another verses in the Bible. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Owe no man anything. Hello. But to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with knowledge, able also to admonish one another. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God has for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, that relationship we have as a family of Christians, primarily through our church, is important to God. Church isn't just about ourselves. Now, I understand when we first come to a church, we come in and we're being blessed and we're trying to be helped and we're trying to learn the word and we're just getting around. But at some point, it ought to turn into, how can I help one another? How can I have better relationship with one another? Fellowship with one another. Other people are important. Get outside of yourself and start thinking about other people. The most miserable people are people who everything revolves around them. There's nothing about anybody else. And if something happens, look what you did to me. Look what happened to me. Woe is me. What can you do for me? Hey, at some point, it's what can I do to help somebody else? That's what being a Christian is. Others. Number three, church is also about growth. Acts chapter 2, verse 41 and 42. And they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day were added unto them who, that believers, that group there in Jerusalem, about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Notice how they got saved, how their relationship was tied in with the rest of the group. And they met together. Why? To grow. To continue to go forward as Christians, to grow in their faith, to become the Christians that God wants them to be as a group together going forward. Church is to help you to grow in your faith. The world in which we live in, it is so negative. It's negative. You can't even listen to the news. You can't even listen to it's just, we need encouragement. We need someone to say, hey, here's the way to go. Hey, here's the way to be. Out there, what they're telling us to be, that's not the way to be. Their philosophies don't come from the Bible. Their philosophies don't come from God, and their morality definitely doesn't come from God. Where are we going to get it from? Got to get it from God's word. Got to get it from the church. Growing and spending time together in teaching and doctrine. we must take in spiritually on a regular basis. As I mentioned before, and I'm not trying to hammer a horse, but the best thing I ever did was Four to Flourish. Best, and they didn't even have that. I picked it up on my own. I didn't have my family going to church. And I went. My mom was coming with me on Sunday morning. My mom, my aunt, my grandmother, they got saved. And then some of my other relatives, but they, no one else was. I went Sunday nights by myself. And I went Wednesday nights by myself. And then I started getting involved and going out on, they went out on Thursday nights. Like we do our summer saturation on Tuesday. They went out on Thursday. I started going out on Thursday night. Just going to church. Now I had to spend time with God and I had to know God. You know how I learned how to spend time with God and get to know God? I learned it when I was at church. Growth. And then I was 18-year-old, meeting some of the brethren there, some of the older Christians, and talking to them. And they're you know, like, yeah, man, I just got right with God. I've just been coming to church. And some of the things they would talk to me about and point me in the right direction and teach me. I mentioned there was an assistant pastor there named Dave Sisson. And I wasn't in a Sunday school class or anything. And he kind of took an interest in me. And, I mean, after church, he was a good basketball player. I liked to play basketball. He was a lefty. And we'd go out there, and he'd shoot around with me. And we'd play horse, you know, and I couldn't beat the guy. The guy was good. But he'd be, and while we're doing that, he just talked to me about some things and encouraged me. It's about growth. We want you to grow in your faith. We're Christians. We're not churchians, all right? I get that. But church helps us to go forward. We want you to go forward. What else is church membership about? It's about belonging. Belonging. Acts 2, again, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them. Part of that group. Remember when we looked at Paul a few weeks ago in Acts chapter 9. When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself unto disciples. This is right after Paul, who was Saul at that time, got saved. Remember, he was killing Christians. But they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Can you imagine that? Tried to come into the group, and they're like, that's the guy that killed people. He's not. They're afraid, like, he's trying to sneak in to infiltrate us so he could kill us. And they were all concerned about that. Verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, that he had spoken unto him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them, coming in and going out of Jerusalem. You know what they did? They took him into the group. He belonged. You know, every Christian needs a church that they belong to. They need a group that they're a part of. We don't live our Christian lives on our own, okay? We have this mentality in our country, this Lone Ranger mentality, this, you know, Rambo mentality. One guy going in, I'll kill 50 people, you know? Man, listen, if we had to go in and have a battle with 50 people, I'd rather not go in by myself. I'd rather have 49 others and let's make it at least even, okay? But we need a group we're a part of. By the way, people are looking to be a part of a group. We need good friends. Amen. Person that doesn't have friends, you better be careful. You're going to be depressed. You're going to be down. You're going to be discouraged. But it's nice to be part of a group where you belong. It just feels like I'm home. This is the place. By the way, the world offers substitutes. By the way, cheap substitutes. When we used to have our softball team, and we would play on our softball team, we played on Friday nights, and some of the guys from the other teams, you talk to them and kind of be friendly with them. And some of them, I got it. That was their church. Some of them, like, their team was in four leagues. They'd play 4 days a week. You know why? That's their group. That's where they belong. Remember, we used to have the classic car shows here at the church and had some good guys. Some of those guys came and got saved, but that's almost in essence, our church, that's what they do on the weekends. We get with our club and we go out, and that's our group, bowling league, whatever. You name the substitute, the Elks Lodge. I don't know if people even go to those things anymore. Okay, we used to have the one down here by our old church, and we tried to rent some space out of it. By the way, the people that didn't pay their dues, they put their name on the bulletin board on the front door entrance. The following members are behind in their dues. I'm like, wow, we should do that in church. But I'm like, you ever go to a sporting event and you buy someone's tickets and you're in a season ticket area? Anybody ever been that? Those people there, that's their, like, they all know each other because they go to every single game. That's their church. By the way, it's a lot cheaper to come to this church than that church, all right? We don't make you pay for parking. Fact of the matter is, we don't even give you parking. Okay, we don't. It's like, By the way, before you think our parking's weird, I was out making a visit in Carson one Saturday, and I was going by the, it used to be the Home Depot Center, I think they changed the name, and I was driving down the road, and they had some event, and cars were going in. The neighborhood next door, they had signs up, and it said no parking for Home Depot. I went to a Dodger game one time. They had an off-site parking with a shuttle. It said, employees, park here. So I didn't feel so bad about our parking situation. We want you to belong to our church. Just don't park in the parking lot. But belong. Everybody needs something to belong to. We need a spiritual family. Tells us in John when we're saved, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. When we got saved, we were born into God's family. You know what that means? We have brothers and sisters. And we meet with them primarily through the church. And then the last thing is this. Church membership's about commitment. It's about commitment. What does that mean? When I become a member of a church, what I'm saying is, you know, this is my church. You know, before a person comes to our church, you know, oh, I've heard about that church before. Pacific Baptist over on Moore, I've heard about that. When they visit here a few times, it's like, yeah, you know, I go to this church. But when you become a member, you know what you're saying? You're saying, this is my church. Now, I understand our society is deathly afraid of commitment. That's why people don't get married. Why get married? I mean, I could get divorced. Well, you might live together for a really long time for the rest of your lives and really enjoy it. You'll never know if you're not committed. By the way, you're missing the very thing that makes that relationship special. I'm not talking about marriage this morning, since you asked. You know, it's like when you buy a car, you take it for a test drive. By the way, my wife's not a car. And we're talking about a spiritual dynamic. The very thing that makes a marriage relationship last and makes it special is commitment. Commitment. Okay, we'll get back onto church membership. Thank you. Church membership, commitment. I committed to a gym membership and I had to pay for 3 years and I went 4 times. Duh. That's why they get you. Okay? We're just afraid of it. Look, by the way, no one's going to jump you. I joined the church and I missed a Sunday. They jumped me. Hey, no one's jumping you. But you say, well, I don't want to join this church. I just don't feel like this is a place. Can I just tell you something? Lovingly, I would tell you, you should find a church that is your place. But you need to look, invite. Well, this church isn't perfect. None of us are perfect. No, and by the way, if you're perfect, then you should find another church. Because it's not like Spurgeon said, if I found a perfect church, I would corrupt it. If you're perfect and you come in here, we'll corrupt you. Okay? We're not perfect. But what you're saying is, this is my church family. This is where I'm going to come. This is where I want to be a part of. Maybe you've been burned in the past. I went to a church over here and something happened or whatever. Don't let that stop you. How many of you have ever been burned in the past with something? When I was in Florida, I got a job. I was working at stripping floors, and I worked at a Kmart. They wanted me to go strip a floor there, and I had my supervisor come one night. And he said, strip the floor, and he said, we're not doing the whole floor, so we need to tape this section off, or the stripper's going to get in the section we're not stripping. It's going to make the floor look bad. It's going to ruin that wax. And he said, no, don't do that. Just put water there. I'm like, that's not going to work. He said, just do it. I said, your supervisor, I'll do it. And we stripped the floor that night. We did it his way. And sure enough, it looked horrible on the edges. Like, he's the boss. I worked third shift. We worked like 12 hours. I went home. I'm sleeping. About 4 hours into my sleep, I get a phone call from my other boss. He goes, you're fired. I'm like, why? He goes, that floor looks horrible. Kmart's complaining. I'm like, I know, that was the wrong way to do it. He goes, the other guy said it was your idea. It's like, okay. So what'd you do? I found out where the guy lived. Just kidding. It's like, you know what I did? I thought, I got burned at a job, I'll never work again. And I haven't to this day. You see, why do we treat church like that? You had a bad experience, that's okay. It's okay, not every church is like that. But let's commit. If you've been coming and you're not a member, it's like, hey, if you kind of like the place you've been coming, become a member. Say, you know what? This is going to be my church home. I'm going to make this my place. Ushers, why don't we come at this time? Do we have a pianist around here? She may not be around here. If you are, please come. There you are. She was sleeping in there. She didn't get enough sleep last night. Okay? We're going to pass out a covenant. We're just going to briefly go over this. Thank you for your patience. I know we got off to a little bit of a late start. I want you to consider this. If you're not a member, if you are a member, we're going to ask you to re-up. Okay? Another 4 years. Just kidding. Just kidding. Go ahead. You can pass those out. Everybody can get one. Can I have some? Yeah, that's perfect for membership. Thanks. Oh, no, Raul can't have one. Okay. Not you. You're good. Not you, Raul. The terms of this are subject to a change without prior approval. So, all right, everybody, do we have them out on the balcony? Let's just briefly go through this. Thank you, Jessica. By the way, we're going to just read through these things. You say, man, some of these are rough. I know. I don't even know if I can become a member. To be honest with you. We're just encouraging you. We're not saying you have to be perfect, all right? Because I wouldn't fulfill all these, and I'd have to sit out. Having received Christ as my personal Savior and being in agreement with Pacific Baptist Church membership covenant, I now feel led by the Spirit to unite with the church and its members. By the way, a church is people. This is a building where we meet, but the church is made up of people. Okay? We're uniting together. Now, by the way, what are the requirements for the main requirement for church membership? Salvation. I have trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I can give you a clear testimony of when I trusted the Lord. For myself, Easter Sunday, 1978. Okay? I remember it like it was yesterday, even though it wasn't. I was 3 years old. And you can see why we don't want you to be a member. Okay? And then, after I was saved, I was scripturally baptized. What is scripturally baptized? It's after salvation, and it's by immersion in the water. Say, why by immersion? Because that's what the word means. That's what baptism is. By the way, I wish it wasn't. We would just get a hose out. You just walk by, we'll squirt you. Fact of the matter is, we'll turn the sprinkler on and you walk through the sprinkler. Just kidding. That's what baptism is. And by the way, say, well, I was baptized. Was it after your salvation? Did you have a clear testimony of salvation? You understood what you were doing. So that's the two requirements. Let's go through this. Number one, I will protect the unity of my church. In other words, we strive to be unified together. Be on the same page. By acting in love towards other members. Does that mean sometimes we don't get irritated with each other? Of course we do. You ever get irritated with members of your family? Okay, let's move on. Of course. But you're a family. It's okay. You'll get through it. By refusing to gossip. Well, I guess I'm out. okay, by following the leaders. That doesn't mean we're your cult leader. Follow me. Get the white robe and let's go to the hill. I'm talking about the direction of the church, the direction that we're going, what we're doing in the church. Get behind what's going on in the church. You see the verses there. You can read them. By the way, like we mentioned, if we're a family, we have an issue, what you do with your family, you get together and like, you know, brother, usually when there's an issue between people, if they just get together and talk about it, it's not even a big deal. Misunderstanding. And then someone buys dinner. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church, praying for it. Pray for its growth. Pray for our church by inviting the unchurched to attend. You know, just grabbing a track every now and then and saying, hey, you ought to come to church with me. That type of thing. By warmly receiving those that visit. I hope, and our church is good at it. Our hope when someone new comes in and our church is good, you know, man, just people are kind and friendly to them. When there's a new person, always think about this. How did you feel the first time you came? I mean, look. I mean, I've been on church staff forever. When we go visit churches, I'm like, sneak in, sit down, leave me alone, okay? But you know, and you feel uncomfortable. You don't know what's going on, but you know what? When someone comes up and shakes their hand and says, "Hey, thanks for being here," that's all it takes. It's like now that all melts away. Can I show you where to go? Do you need a seat? Let me find you a place to sit. You have children? Let me help you find someone that will get your children to Sunday school, okay? Just that type of thing, and we do a great job at that, by the way. Thank you. Number three, I will serve the ministry of my church by discovering my gifts and talents. And this is not a sermon on serving, but we all have gifts and talents God has given us. We use that in the church. My gift is singing, and I use it all the time. Just kidding. That's where my son sang. All those years of teaching him how to sing have paid off. I don't know where he got that from. He got it from his mom, not me. By developing a servant's heart, just helping out when you can. We're not trying to crack the whip. Everybody work 24/7. No, but sometimes things come up in the church, or there's ministries, or the nursery, or whatever, and say, "Hey, I'll do my part. I'll help here and there." Number four, I will support the testimony of my church by attending faithfully, trying to be as faithful as I can to be an encouragement and grow in my faith, by living a godly life. By the way, doesn't mean perfect. But we're trying to learn what God wants in our life, and we're trying to apply God's principles to our life and go forward by giving regularly, being a part of supporting what's going on here, as we mentioned at the offering time. Now, here's what I want you to do. This is where it gets complicated. Can I have this one here? Hello? Good. That's working. All right. Here's what you do. Take this membership covenant. First things, see that line down there? I'm sorry, it's not perforated. Fold it a couple times back and forth. Now, if you want to do this, you can lick it. Okay, bend it back again. This is a smart-looking crowd. I think you can get this. I really do. Okay, and then I want you to tear it together. All right. Now, here's what I want you to do. Let's look at it. We're asking you for a few things here. Look at the boxes. First of all, I have been saved and scripturally baptized and would like to become a member of the church today. Say, I'm not a member yet, but I've been saved and I've been baptized. I'd like to be a member. You put an X in that box. That rules you out, Raul. Sorry. Okay, renewal of existing membership. Hey, I'm a member. I'm still in. Okay? You can do that. Just put your name, your address, a major credit card, and I need the little CVC code on the back, the little three-digit thing, or else I can't buy anything online, all right? Just kidding. Hey, I'm not asking for a lot. You don't have to give me your Social Security. I'm fine. I have been saved here but not been baptized. Maybe you've been saved, but after your salvation, you were never baptized. Mark that. We'll talk to you about how you can be baptized here. Maybe you're here and you were here from another church. You no longer have been attending, and you want to transfer your membership from that church. Just check that and give us the name of the church. That's confusing. And then the bottom. If you're becoming a member or you've already become a member, on Thursday nights, through your Sunday school class, we have discipleship. During the teaching of the Thursday night service, you'll be dismissed with someone from the Sunday school class, and we have a discipleship book. It just goes over the basic beliefs of our church so you kind of understand where we're at. It kind of talks about our four-step process over there, and it's kind of talks about the different things there. If you're interested in that, if you'll check that off also, someone will talk to you about it and let you know what it is and see if you're interested in that, okay? All right, why don't we fill that out? Just put your name. No Social Security number. Raul's would be two digits. He's kind of old. All right. Can we get some music? Ushers, why don't we come? I realize the service has been about 5-6 minutes later than normal. I appreciate your attentiveness. Okay? Just put that in the offering plate and we'll collect those. have any questions about any of this, you can see your Sunday school teacher. If you're not sure about that, you can come up and talk to myself or any of the staff. We'll be more than glad to talk to you about it and help you with that. You didn't have time to fill it out. You need it. We need one up here. Come on down here, Chip. Thank you. All right. Everybody all right? We need more time? We good? All right, let's all stand together. Different message this morning, but I just want to encourage you. Church is important. And it can be an encouragement and a blessing in your life, and we just want you to be a part of our group. We love the church here. We love you. We want you to be a part of what's going on. God's doing great things. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed.